And we could get a ruling today from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on President Trump's travel bans. You remember he temporarily banned all refugees and travelers from seven majority Muslim nations and indefinitely banned Syrian refugees. So we wait for that ruling. But even before Trump's executive order, getting into the U.S. was a complex process. For one woman who resettled in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, bringing the rest of her family to the U.S. has been a two-year ordeal that's not over yet. Emily Seiner from Here Now contributor WPL Ellen in Nashville has her story.
There's a blurry video on Kenan El-Rufai's phone that she shows off proudly. It's from back in November. Her kids, 8 and 10, just walked out of the Atlanta Airport arrivals terminal. For most of the video, all you can see is the back of El-Rufai's white headscarf and the pink-painted fingernails of her daughter as they embrace. Her son, in a hoodie, looks both happy and a little embarrassed. El-Rufai was the first in her family to come to the U.S. in September 2014. She's been studying English, working at a textbook warehouse, and taking classes at a state college so she can use her chemistry degree here in the States. Meanwhile, her children stayed with family in Lebanon and Turkey.
I didn't even imagine that I will stay here for 2 years just waiting for them to come. I had no idea. If I had this idea, I would never leave them.
The reason why El-Rufai left her children to come to the States was the Syrian Revolution. She was a high school chemistry teacher in Damascus. Her husband ran a clothing business. But she says the regime started targeting their family for protesting the president. In 2012, her husband was arrested. She says he was lucky to come back alive, and they decided to flee into neighboring Lebanon.
Our plan was to stay in Lebanon, like, until the situation get better. We thought that everything will be better soon.
Things did not get better. And you can see that in the numbers. When they arrived in Lebanon, there were 25,000 Syrian refugees in the country, according to the UN. Today, there are a million. And El-Rufai says the Lebanese made life difficult. They put restrictions on where or when the refugees could drive or what kind of jobs the newcomers could do.
Because they don't want anyone to work, actually, because they want everyone to get out.
El-Rufai wanted to get out, too. Her husband moved to Turkey to gauge the possibility of settling in Europe. That wasn't panning out. Then she used a lifeline that most of her fellow refugees do not have. Her brother is a pediatrician at Vanderbilt University Medical Center, so El-Rufai's family applied for a travel visa to visit him in Nashville. The American Embassy in Lebanon interviewed them and approved the trip, but just for her, not for her children. She decided it was her only option.
We were just seeking a safe place for our children to grow up in, and because we knew at that point that Syria will never come back to its situation.
She came to the U.S. and applied for asylum. That process ended up taking 9 months. There were background checks, then a three-hour interview at the immigration office in Houston, Texas.
The officers over there interview you and ask you about everything, why you're applying for asylum, what you're fleeing from, why you're afraid from going back to your home.
Then another background check. By the end, she says, it felt like the U.S. knew everything about her since she was born. It's important to note that El-Rufai's process was similar to that of a traditional refugee, but she technically applied for asylum. She had an advantage because she was already on U.S. soil. According to her attorney, the government had to consider her application, whereas refugees applying from abroad don't have that guarantee. Then, after she got asylum, her husband and kids could also apply. They went through the same process at the embassy in Turkey, which took almost a year and a half. At their final interview last November, her kids were approved, but not their dad.
They told my husband that he had to went through another process to review his case again, which is kind of background check again.
El-Rufai's attorney says this is not an unusual step for the U.S. to take with Syrian men. But the final review was only supposed to take a couple of months. And then, of course, came President Trump's executive order halting all Syrian resettlement. El-Rufai says she doesn't understand it.
Because I know that the United States have a right to prevent the bad stuff inside the country. I'm not against going through all the screening, but I'm against preventing all the people from coming in only because they are Syrian.
Despite everything El-Rufai has done to create a life here in Tennessee, she says she doesn't want her children to grow up without their father. So if his visa is denied, they'll move again. even if that means moving back to Syria, the place they tried so hard to leave. For Here and Now, I'm Emily Siner in Nashville.